Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yeah, honestly, I know we like want to say we support him and everything that he does, but We're not going to support that though. I can't support it. Like I mean, if you want to watch this Medina thing, I'm not gonna lie. The thing that also made me not want to watch it
was him in Beyonce's outfit.
Yeah, from the Beachella. Way he dipped it low. I don't know when we're gonna have.
No, I love it.
I'm sorry, that is a weird man, and I don't want to believe that he's a weird man.
Why is he a weird man?
He's a weird man. I think he likes that being that character too much.
Why is that weird?
It's just weird. And then he don't have a wife, bro. He kept the casting of this movie. He had like half of the people that normally are in his plays.
Yeah,
and then. He still casted the men where it was just like, of course they're in this film. And then I was like, I wonder if they're on my team. They're probably not. It was just giving. The writing was not great, which again, Tyler Perry, amazing.
Well, somebody else told me that he needs to swap out some of the writers in the writer's room. But it's not really giving what it's supposed to give.
The jokes. There was a, we did it, Joe, joke.
Oh.
When I think Joe literally shit his pants. It was... The writing where he tried to like add a whole bunch of like current things into it. Like you had BLM in there. You had like one of the cousins was a cop. And so he was like, oh, nah, you got to get that uniform out my house. Move your car down the street. That's why niggas ain't coming to the neighborhood because they see that cop car. It was just the jokes were even just really in poor taste.
Yeah.
And I was just like, really? This is. And then you had like. The son, the person that's graduating, in a relationship that none of the family knows. So he's in a relationship with a man.
Okay.
And so the man is trying to say, come out to your family about us, but also I can't come out to my family. It was a lot going on in the first like 20 minutes to where I was like, oh no. If y'all enjoyed this Madea movie on Netflix, shout out to y'all.
Yeah. But
no.
Okay. I mean, well, I was going to give it a shot. If you watch it,
do like Dustin and maybe smoke a blunt. maybe be under some sort of influence.
Maybe be really high or really turnt.
To where you're like, I can't move off this couch and there's nothing better to do but to watch this Madea show on Netflix.
Okay.
It's just not it. I did want to start off this week's episode, if you don't mind, with a throwback. Because, you know, we give
it
throwbacks.
Go in.
But also, y'all know we got this deal now. So listen. We real independent out here, baby.
Hers,
well,
just
technically,
you know.
But not technically, but we are.
I see you, baby.
And I was gonna play another song. Appreciation the right way. But I needed Jamie Foxx,
ladies,
because I wasn't gonna play Kanye. But Mr. that's where Jamie I was gonna Fox. Go.
Yeah.
But Mr. here we Fox. Go, y'all. Welcome to another episode of See the Thing Is.
I love her because she got her own. She don't need mine, just to leave mine alone.
I need another Jamie Foxx album.
You. Me too.
We need another Jamie Foxx album.
Hey. Young independent, yes, you work hard. Go ahead and just shimmy if you at your desk.
The way that she works. Hey. She don't slow down, cause she ain't got time to
be complaining.
We bite.
Yeah, yeah.
She don't expect nothing from no guy. She plays aggressive, but she still
and
shy.
I think he lied too.
I'm not shy and aggressive. I'm just aggressive.
But also, wait, now that I'm listening to the words, it's a beautiful song. But this song is probably what ruined all of us as millennials. Between this independent women and Boosie, I-N-D-E-P. Like, why were we just being pushed to independence and then screaming independence? And yet, now that we independent, niggas really still want us to rely on them. I don't think they want us to not rely on them at all.
Well, I mean,
and that's a weird.
Is very strange because I remember thinking, listening to Bills, 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 and being like, he can't pay his own bills, and you want him to pay your bills,
bro. When I was dating younger, the fact that we couldn't go on dates because he was waiting for his check to hit on Friday,
right?
I didn't grow up like super, super like having a guy being able to pay his own bills, my bills, and then it's weird because there was this weird transition that went from a woman asking for you to pay my bills and your bills.
But it was, it was weird. It was like you asking to use my car, you asking to use my cell phone. If he's asking to use all of those things.
Oh, you talking about Tyrone?
I'm talking about bills, bills, bills.
Oh, but also Tyrone, that nigga didn't even have his own phone to call his friend.
So what bills was he going to pay, sis?
I don't know.
He wasn't asking to borrow your phone so he could call T-Mobile and be like, hey, I got it this month. But so then how did we get here?
But now that I think about it, that's how we got here.
I know.
That's why men wanted us to be independent so bad and not rely on them, because they didn't have it. Mm. And now they're mad that we've all become boss ass bitches and CEOs. And now men don't know how to feel in this space. Oh my God. And I didn't even know we was going to start off this way, but actually
it goes into one of the things
I actually do. And it's crazy, cause I didn't plan this, but also real quick, welcome to another episode of See the Thing Is. I'm your girl, Mandy B.
I'm Bridget Kelly.
And we gonna really drop this down, because as you know, we've talked about how not all men need to be podcasters, and maybe that's the problem with patriarchy now. Y'all niggas trying to be podcasters and not trying to be men, and now y'all just complaining about what we expect from men. I mean, and how you're showing up.
Apparently it's not a problem, because a lot of people are supporting these podcasters who are better at being podcasters than they are at being men, and so it's working.
Oh,
shock jocks.
Hold on. Can we go?
I mean, if we're keeping it a stack.
You're right.
That seems to be what's going on right now.
Now, I'm not sure which podcast this is. I do want to play a clip from it, however.
Okay.
It's about a minute long.
All right.
Hold on. Let me.
Show me what you got, little mama.
You know what? Now that I look at the name of the podcast, they call themselves Bad Speakers, so maybe.
Oh, great.
So maybe that's
why.
We
love self-awareness. Carry on.
So I came across this video of these men, and basically the question is, and I want to let you hear what he has to say, but he says, why are men only loved for what they can provide? And I want y'all to listen to what he kind of had to say.
Man standards is three things: feed us, fuck us, shut the fuck up. if you beautiful, fine. Yeah, yeah. Look, bro, a man with money don't care about a woman's money. You see what I'm saying? Money only matters to a woman. We only are loved for what we can provide.
Hold on,
you might find a dude who don't care about what you got. She just think you, he looks good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When a woman start finding herself, only thing she cares about what you can provide. We are only loved unconditionally for what we can provide.
In the words of Mike Tyson, she never loved you like your mother loved you.
Never.
She only loved you for her survival. Your mama loved you for your survival.
Which is, okay, do you want, look, because you sighed mid, you sighed halfway through, and I want to know, and maybe this is also, I mean, clearly these are men speaking. So now, as women, they're assuming that we only love them for what they can provide. And you did a big sigh, because I wanted to know.
I did a big sigh, because I think, my big side really, really comes down to that being the only, I think that men, a lot of men that feel that way. First of all, I do want to say that this is not how all women feel, and it's definitely not how all men feel.
Yes.
So I feel like the common theme of all these things.
We talked about that with Antoinette. When we say all, like when we talk about these, it's not all.
We have to not say all,
okay,
right?
It's
all
not
men
all.
Feel, or all women think. Like that's not, it's just not, a. it's not fair to group everybody in, right?
But also, not many of y'all women and men agree with me. My opinions are true. Outliers. I think I'm an outlier opinion.
No, I think a lot of people agree with you. I think people are uncomfortable with agreeing with you because when you say things out loud, then it presents a level of accountability that a lot of people are not fucking ready
not
for.
Not when I say it out loud.
Yeah. Think about it. Like, that was when we were talking about how Donald Trump became president. We were like, oh my God, I can't believe all of these racists came out of nowhere. No, they've been sitting on their racist, like,
you're right,
bigotry for all these years. Donald Trump was just the first person in a long time to make it okay to say it out loud. Like, that's all it was. And that's, I feel like a lot more people agree with you than are willing to admit they agree with you. So where this is concerned, the part that's troubling to me, right, is the fact that I always get upset when I hear that men are looking for women to love or making the comparison of love from a woman that's supposed to be their life partner to their mother.
Ooh,
I think that's really unfair, because that's not it, the same way that we can frown on women for looking at men as banks. We need to. I'm also going to frown on men who look at women to be mothers to you and raise you and fill the voids, the emotional voids that your mother did not fill, or do a better job than how your mother spoiled you, or mirror that. And those are both very unrealistic expectations on both sides.
They are, because your mama wasn't sucking your dick.
But also,
was that sorry?
No, it's true. Sighed, it's
but
true.
It's also like,
but it's also hello. Like, but it's also, I think a lot of men who complain about that kind of thing, it's very self-deprecating because you're in control of whatever it is that you want to. How you present yourself as an asset is going to determine whether or not you'll be seen as valuable in that way. So if the only thing that you want to bring to the table is money and financial provision, then that's the only thing you will be appreciated for.
I was about to say, it seems like a lot of men are currently complaining about the patriarchy that they built themselves. Well, like men have said, like, because I know even growing up, like,
well,
because
women are not adhering to those standards
anymore.
But
not only that, I knew men in my 20s that felt as though they weren't ready to be partners or husbands because they couldn't provide.
Right.
And so at this point, a man sitting and saying, well, women only love us for as much as we could provide, that's a system that men created, because a lot of men don't know how to show up emotionally. We've talked about this as well. Even in the argument with Antoinette, where I was like, well, men are fulfilled once they have money and once they do this. And of course, there was a disagreement but I do feel like this is a system that men are pointing the fingers at us to simply adhering to, one of which they created. The patriarch was created by them.
Well, yes, but it's also that formula only works if women play the role that they're supposed to play, and women are not playing that role anymore. So now it's almost impossible for them to keep showing up in the roles they've been conditioned to show up as, because we're not doing that.
We can't. I'm sorry.
No, but it's not that we can't. We won't.
Well, a lot of us can't, because bitch, rent is up 40%.
I know.
And the way that a nigga can't sit here and pay for a 2-bedroom in Queens anymore.
But the expectation,
two incomes.
Right. But the expectation that they set even amongst themselves is that once you get into a relationship, you got to be able to take care of the home. So then if the woman is coming into the relationship and saying, nah, we can balance this out because I can help with this and I can help with that, then he's having to compensate with something else, with a different type of currency that he doesn't even really know he has. And maybe he doesn't have. So I can't say that we can blame it all on the patriarchy. I don't think it's all the patriarchy's fault. I think it's really at the fault of emotionally stunted individuals. And I say individuals because I think I believe it with women as well, that a lot of women are emotionally stunted when they're the ones showing up saying, well, all, you know, they, I don't even need him to have all the money. I'm gonna have my own money. And then whatever he brings to the table is supplementary. Well, then what does supplementary look like? What is he supplementing then? Because you don't have all of your emotional baggage together. So the same way that we want men to be able to take care of themselves and quote unquote, possibly us, I want to challenge women to be more emotionally intelligent, because I think we make a lot of decisions, a lot of emotional decisions around money, around where we're going to live and what kind of careers we're going to have, how we should look, what we should wear, what our appearance is. I think we make a lot of those decisions emotionally. And then we look at men like, well, you're supposed to supplement. And men are looking at us like, well, sis, I don't know what you, I'm paying bills. I don't know how to do it. I don't know. And women, a lot of women don't have the answer.
But see, but that's, and maybe I'm just in a space that I'm now trying to figure out, but like when I had nothing, of course a man had to have money. And now that
you had nothing though.
Yeah. Right. My point.
Right.
Financially.
Yeah.
Of course, if I was going to have a partner, I'm going to want you to provide. And now that I have money and don't need a man to provide, I'm having an issue with men even having the conversation. Well, then how do I show up? Mm-hmm. If I ain't providing for you and I don't feel like you need my protection because you got this, you've been had this,
yeah.
Where do I fit into your life?
Right.
And so when I hear men complaining about, well, we only have to be providers, I'm now in a position where I don't need a man to provide a goddamn lick of shit. And now the conversations that I've had with men are almost like, well, then what do you need a man for? And so the fact that these men specifically are complaining that women view men as providers, I've had a lot of conversations now that because I don't need a provider, the question is, then what do you need a man for? Because, of course, dick and sex, that's cool every now and then. But
what do you need a man for?
Damn, is you asking me a question?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's not rhetorical.
It's weird.
She took a beat. She took a beat. And I was like, nah, sis, that's the question.
Oh, I mean, I'll
what
be,
do you need a man for?
And I'll be honest with you. That has been something over maybe the last 2 years where, and it sucks because I almost have this fight amongst my friends.
Mm.
My homegirls that maybe feel as though I don't allow a man to show up at all for me now. There's been the conversation with what I need. And unfortunately, I've come into something where I realized I needed a lot more than I thought I needed.
Mm.
And maybe that wasn't communicated and that person wasn't able to do all of the things. But to me, it's also why I know my love language has changed.
Mm. Okay.
So I need someone there more so for quality time.
Yep.
I love a good acts of service. Anything mm-hmm. to take something off of my plate.
Right.
So it goes quality
would that,
time.
Would that include paying bills, though?
No.
So if a man came in and was like, Mandy, I know you're going through hell right now with all these electronic devices. Can I help pay your electric bill this month? If a man said that to you, would you take
it?
You
know what? Do you want to know what's crazy about that? And this is going to sound very privileged. And I don't want to not connect with you guys. But bills right now is not one of my stressors.
I know. I feel you. I'm just saying that to me, that's still an act of service, right? A man offering to pay for something for you, whether you need it or not.
Okay, I'm about to be real.
Okay.
I'm probably about to share too much.
That's okay.
But my ex now.
Yes.
Actually, when I'm doing a new business venture, right?
Yes.
And in getting ready for this new business venture, something he had never done before, we laid in bed together and I'm sharing all of my ideas for this new venture. And he's like, since we've been together, everything you said you were going to do, you've done and you've excelled at it.
Right.
He's like, it's almost crazy that everything that you've said you were going to do, you've mm-hmm. done. And it's been amazing to witness that. I would love to give you $10,000 towards your business.
Wow.
And because I believe in you. That's how he said it. And
give you $10,000 or invest $10,000?
See, hold on.
And this is why.
Hold on.
When you're dealing with bitches with money,
hold on.
You got to choose your words. You got to be real careful with your language. You
going
to give me $10,000 or this is an investment and you want an ROI. What's up?
So that was the conversation.
Okay.
It went straight to a bitch turned into Shark Tank, all that nigga. And I was like, actually, for $10,000, unfortunately, I can't give up equity. I was like, I'm not in the space that I want to give up equity. But if you want, I can give you a 10 or 20% return. But on $10,000, that's only like $1,000 or $2,000. So do you want to get $11,000 back off of $10,000 or $12,000?
Right.
You know, it's only $1,000 or $2,000 return. Because, bitch, I ain't going over 20%.
No.
Bitch, I went to motherfucking American Express.
I already have that.
But I have it already. I could get three times that from American Express for 4.5% return. So, like, I mean.
So the return is better with American Express. But that's also the question. It was not meant to be a gift. He was trying to invest with you and go in business with you.
Okay. He wanted to go into business with me.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, after that conversation, it was never brought up again because, nigga, I don't need your 10 grand. So in one of our last conversations, it was thrown back into my face that I didn't even want, like, that was something he had never done before. And the fact that I kind of just laughed and didn't want his $10,000.
You kind of shit on him a little bit. You shit on him
did
a little
I?
Bit. Yeah, a little bit. And not on purpose.
It wasn't on purpose.
I know it was not where you were going with it.
Things like.
But I do think that the more and more we keep hearing these conversations, the more it's so clear to me that men look at their own value with based money. On money.
With money.
And here's the thing, right? And we have not made it easier for them as women. I will say we have not. I as you know, this is the accountability podcast. We have not made it easy for y'all at all by any means, because on top of money, we want other things as well, right?
Bitch, we need you to go to therapy. We asking these niggas for a lot now. You need to be accountable, I already faithful, told you, and go to therapy.
You cannot give me $100,000 to get out your face. If I like you, if I love you, I may take $10,000 and still gonna want 60% of your time. Like, knock it the fuck off. Anyway, neither here nor there. I do think that in this instance, I feel for men, because I really do think that men have been so harshly conditioned to believe that the only value they provide is financial, that now when they might want to show up differently, they don't have the tools. They're not equipped, right?
Right.
And then even seeking to do it is something that's time consuming. It can also cost money and is also emotionally uncomfortable in those moments. And we can say this because we've been in therapy. The process of unpacking and trying to heal is rigorous sometimes, and it's painful. And sometimes you need a beat. Like, you get tired, you're like, nah, I need a break. Like, emotionally, you ain't got it. And I learned that even in dealing with my partner who's in therapy, who's when he's at capacity emotionally, will just shut off. Not necessarily shut down, but he's tired, he's spent. So he's like, babe, it was one of those days, I ain't got it. And we'll be in the same house and won't talk for like 3-4 hours, and then he'll come back and be like, hey babe, so how was your day? Like, he knows himself. He's learning himself, but it's still an adjustment. We just have to keep, the conversation going around other ways that people can show up. That's why I asked, like, what you really need from a man. Because I mean, think,
good old dirt, but because no, I think, also.
Because here's the thing, right? There has to be still some room for a man's ego to be stroked the way that our feelings and our ego need to be
I
stroked.
I tell him he's sexy all the time.
No, Mandy.
That's not stroking ego. No. I'd be like, damn, you sexy as fuck.
Because sometimes, it's still...
Is that not enough?
No.
To tell a man he look good?
No, it's like telling a woman, yeah, I'd fuck you. That's not a compliment either. So
No, it's not the same. Telling someone they're attractive and telling someone you want to fuck them, two different things.
The intention is to tell you that you're attractive.
I'm telling you that you're attractive. Just without saying I'd fuck.
When I'm saying words of affirmation, I'm talking about things that are validating to them.
I'd be like, oh, you're so healthy and strong.
If he's not a vain man, you telling him he's sexy may or may not have any impact at all. A bitch on the fucking bus could tell him he's sexy, and it won't mean anything.
First off, my nigga better not be on a bus. Bitch, fuck you talking about the bitch on the bus.
And this is why men have issues when you tell him, I don't need you to have, I don't need your fucking money, but he's on the bus. He better not be on the bus.
He's not gonna be on the bus.
Mandy.
Girl, we ain't speaking for everybody.
We're not speaking for everybody.
I'm only speaking for myself.
But what I'm saying is,
I'm telling you, my nigga not gonna be on the bus, bro.
You can't say that, because we be on a train and we like the train.
The train is not the bus.
The train and the bus, it's fucking MTA. It's the same shit.
It's not the same, technically.
It's the same shit.
The bus takes way longer. You gotta transfer.
Not when you got Not if you trying to come across town through Central Park, bitch. That shit come through the park. That transverse is way faster than taking the motherfucking train 3 stops.
Okay. Let's remove ourselves from New York. A bitch grew up in Florida. I'm not dating a nigga on the bus. That's
anyway,
all.
What I say all that to say, you have to figure out, as a man, what else it is that you want to bring to the table, and focus on that. Because if you keep pressing the stress on, well, no, it's, you know, women only love us for what we can provide. So what else can you provide, right? It's like when we ask women, it's like, well, women want all of these lists of things. So what are you bringing to the table as a woman? You want a man to make all this money. Fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want the money no more.
Fan-fucking-tastic.
What are your top 3 things? If it's not money, what 3 things do you want from a man outside of money?
Kindness.
Okay.
Kindness. Well, I have a lot of adjectives.
Girl, I just told you 3. Bitch, talk about. I got a whole list. Isn't that what niggas be saying?
That's fine.
Bitch, you got your list too.
I got
long.
My list is long.
I just asked for my 3, Bridget. Long.
Kindness.
Okay. God damn. You see?
Kindness. Well, because under kindness, in a parentheses, we have thoughtfulness, consideration. No, that's kindness. Bro, that's Bridget, all kindness for me.
No. Robin, everyone laughing. Does she not just sound like the problem with every woman?
No, but I'm very specific. I know what
okay,
I want.
Bro,
kindness.
This bitch added parentheses. I said,
yeah, kindness.
No bullet points. I said 1, 2, 3, Bridget.
Kindness.
Okay.
Emotional intelligence.
Okay.
And financial stability for yourself.
I just said no money.
For your,
money's not a thing.
So money's not a thing.
Money's not a thing.
Okay,
top 3
cool.
Outside of money.
Top 3. Kindness, emotional intelligence, sense of humor.
Not you wanting a comedian, though.
comedians don't have senses of humor. Comedians are actually dark as fuck. Comedians are dark. They're not. They don't have. Comedians don't count.
I was about to say, bitch, you want to go to the comedy?
Nah, but I want someone that's like, they can laugh at the same stupid shit that I be laughing at. Mandy, we be laughing at dumbass shit. If I can't with a man that be laughing at shit with me, for me.
Okay,
I can't deal with a serious ass man. I can't.
Sense of humor. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Emotional intelligence. You have to know yourself. You have to know yourself. You have to be self-aware. You got to be working on yourself. Understand how to read the room. That shit is fucking crucial to me.
Okay.
And you got to be kind. You got to be thoughtful. You got to be considerate. You have to all that shit.
I literally asked for three. Do y'all see this?
I'm describing them.
Hold on. Bridget legit is a fucking woman, bro.
Three things.
Nah.
That's three things. It's three things.
Hold on. Nah. Bro, it wasn't.
Three things.
No. She went from three and then started adding.
Three things.
Point AB for one. Point AB for two. Point AB
kindness,
for three.
Kindness.
All right, girl.
Kindness.
All right,
what are your three things? What are your three things?
I didn't think it was supposed to be thrown back at me.
What are your three things?
Sexually explorative.
Okay.
Sex is a big thing for me.
Yes.
I feel like I need that intimacy and that, like.
But that drive to that libido gotta be high.
The libido gotta be high.
Libido gotta be high,
baby.
You can't get tired. Maybe. It's gotta be a couple rounds.
And if you gonna add
morning, noon, and night.
Not only morning, noon, and night, I need that cum to not be salty. So I need you to be healthy. But the second.
Low acid diet. Yes.
There we go. Bitch, I like lemonade though. I do be drinking some lemonade.
That's fine. That's more sugar than acid. You'll be all
right. But now that I think about it, Hennessy got a lot of acid in it, right? I just feel like in my 20s, niggas nut was tasting different. But that was back when we was all drinking Hennessy. Like, bitch, I'm so glad niggas ain't on Hennessy no more like that.
They are still.
Are they?
Yeah,
they are. Oh, not my kind. Not who I'm dating.
Yeah, no, because you like the pretty boys. They all drink. They all drink 1942 now in Class A. Yeah, you
they
right.
do. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's 1942 in Class A now. Yeah,
they're all drinking agave.
Yes,
bitch, it is agave. I'm just saying it's not
this
as strong.
Generation. This generation is like the Trader Joe's of the hood. Like it's organic. It's like no, but it's still fucking sugar, bro.
Oh my bad.
Well, carry on.
Outside of
no
that,
salty nuts. Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, well. A high libido.
Yes.
I would say passionate.
Mm.
Passionate, but not in a relationship. Passionate in life. So I need somebody who wants to constantly reinvent themselves or find more or be open to learning more about themselves. I don't like people stuck in their ways.
Ooh, love
I
that.
Love an ever-changing person. Mm. I love someone that has goals, not only 6 months from now, but 5 years from now.
Ever changing. Also a whole other, that's A, B.
But
that's,
no,
that's underneath.
Is that underneath?
Well, absolutely.
I'm just saying someone passionate in life.
Okay.
I need someone that just has drive to do more than whatever the fuck they're doing now. When I meet you, you should be able to have an idea of wanting to do more out of life.
Oh.
So passionate is really big for me.
Wanting more or wanting to do more?
Both. Wanting more out of themselves. Wanting more out of life. I don't like people that are just content.
Okay.
I don't think you have everything that life has to offer when I first meet you.
Mm.
You shouldn't be stagnant in the position that I meet you in.
Yeah.
Which is why it's hard for me to go back home. A lot of people back home.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
You know what I mean?
When they're, yeah.
So
when they move to places like New York and LA, they're they go back home and it's like, damn, y'all really still stuck in this time capsule.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And then outside of that, someone who's able to communicate.
Mm.
Because I think that the ability to talk is not the ability to communicate.
Girl.
So I need someone that knows how to listen. And I feel as though out of those top three, I realized that's why I no longer am in a relationship.
Mm.
I realized how much I need someone to listen. I don't just need you to engage in conversation with me.
It's major.
I need you to know how to listen and take the things that I'm saying. And I don't have to repeat myself, but also you listening and reacting in a way when I'm telling you I need something. You doing those things that I say I need shows me that you care about me. And if you're not listening to me and the things that I need and you're just choosing to completely ignore them, there's no way I can believe that you're here for me. So the ability to communicate effectively.
Yeah.
How about that?
I think those are great things.
So yeah, goddamn, I didn't know we was going to start out like that, but baby.
I love that.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax. the way car buying should be.
Bing, 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 bing.
Start us off, Bridget. Where are we going? Where are we going, baby? Where are we going?
So, I feel like we should be lighthearted now. Oh, and we should,
Dewey, was that?
Dude, that was heavy.
Was it?
That was a little heavy.
We were
only
talking about what we wanted out of these niggas.
I know. I know my man's probably listening to this pod like, what the fuck is she talking about? You think I'm not kind? Like, I'm going to go home today. It's going to be like, what you mean? I'm going to be like, well, I mean,
no,
we all a work in progress.
We live with each other. Well, damn, bitch. Now he going to have something to say.
Nah, he knows. He knows I be trying to make him, I be trying to soften him up a little because he's very much like the man's man. And I'd be like, you don't have to do that with me.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, where are we going? What's lighthearted?
So I did want to talk about, well, it's lighthearted, but not really lightweighted. So Rick Ross decided that he's not going to pay anybody to cut his fucking trees.
I don't know if y'all saw the video.
It was amazing. So, I love where Rick Ross is, first of all.
Yeah.
Rick Ross, yes, he's buying animals. He's got land. He's trying to cut trees down so his animals have space.
Although I do love every song with Rick Ross and Drake, I think the part of Ross that brings a smile to my face more than anything is Wingstop. Because, baby, the way them Parmesan garlic wings hit, my God. Can I not like him for Wingstop?
Your favorite thing, though? That's your favorite thing about Rick Ross is his fucking brand partnership?
Bitch, I ain't gonna hold you. When I pass the Wingstop, a bitch just smile. I be like, ooh, I like them wings. I be telling everybody.
But you don't go, ooh, Rick Ross. You go, ooh, garlic and lemon pepper.
But then, but I'm not gonna lie. No, first off, garlic Parmesan.
Garlic Parmesan.
Get it right. And the
and
lemon
you wonder
pepper
why
wings.
You have acid reflux. Like,
no,
she picks the greasiest, most like coated wings possible.
I mean, I like lemon pepper too, but that doesn't help acid, apparently. You know?
That's true.
But it's okay. I've now added Pepcid to my vitamins in the morning. So,
because we're that age. We take vitamins in the morning.
We're that age. Oh, bitch, my mama came and started asking me for Tums. I said, Mom, I have Omeprazole, I have Pepcid, and I also have Tums. Which one would you like?
I also have Astralagus if she wants to something for her stomach lining. You know, that's
my
a really
mom's
good
a child. Do you know which one she went for?
Was she looking for the
berry flavored Alka-Seltzer Chews?
Was she looking for the vitamins? Flintstone vitamins?
No, the Alka-Seltzer Chews. The ones that are like...
It tastes like cherry?
Yeah. I was like, bitch, you childish. Bitch, you gotta chew a couple of them things.
Shout out to Miss Tammy. But yes, no, I really... Rick Ross living his best wilderness ranch life is just such a... It's so dope to me because, number one, Rick Ross is probably the one person I would never have expected to turn this corner and decide to like live in the woods with cows and horses.
He doesn't.
Nothing about him has ever given.
I've been to the house.
Right.
It's nice.
Nothing gives me that.
He just now is starting to add animals to the land because he's on like fucking 8, 9, 10 acres.
Which I love, right? Instead of building more pools for Bel Air floaties, he's decided.
Bitch, I hate you.
He's decided that he wants to have cows and horses. I bang with that. I think that shit is really fire for him. And he decided he had asked somebody, I guess he was trying to cut down trees, and he had asked a professional how much it would cost, and they were like, oh, it's $1,000 a tree. And Rick Ross was like, what? Mind you, we all know Rick Ross, rich as fuck.
Rich as shit.
Rich forever is his fucking Instagram name. And he responds like, $1,000? I need like 10 trees cut down. That's $10,000. Hey, yo, how much is it for me to go to Home Depot and get a chainsaw? My man went outside with a $2,000 chainsaw from Home Depot and chopped down his own tree.
Which, by the way, shout out to Home Depot, because right after you're done using it, you could return it.
Okay.
I don't know about y'all, but you are able to like return tools and
my
shit.
My man
like,
is not. He's not. Man's is not returning
okay,
that chainsaw.
He's not.
But he's hyped now. He's hyped that he got a chainsaw. Grand.
However, you know what I thought about that video, though?
What?
You got the tree down. Do you know how much it is now
to move
to
that tree?
Break it up?
I was thinking that, too. I was like, you know how much it's going to cost you to move that lumber off your fucking property now?
$1,000.
So, I mean, who knows? We might see Rick Ross with a whole lumber truck company now. That might be next for him. But I did want to ask you, because I thought the one thing I thought to myself was like, yo, it's so funny how, and I love black people for this. I love us for this, is that we are going to find a way or make one, no matter what the situation is.
Yes.
And if we can't find somebody to do it, we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to learn it. We'll figure it out. We'll map the shit out. We're going to make it happen. Right. Is there anything, and he's rich, is there anything that you can think of, right, that you could ever be too rich to do? Is there anything you would never do once you get to a certain amount of money? Once you make your millions, is there something that you'll never do that you'll be too rich for?
I mean, I would like to say dishes and laundry, but okay. I know I would still do it. But that would be the thing that if I got really rich, I don't want
to. When you get really rich.
When I get really rich. Come on, manifest. When I get really rich, the two chores that I hate doing the most,
yeah.
I would love to never have to do my own laundry or wash a dish again. Those are two things. However, because of like just how I grew up, I don't think like that. And I guess this is a word, you know, the word I hate, but I feel like I would still have the humbleness to me.
Yes, humility.
God damn you, bitch. It's the same thing though, right? Are they not synonyms?
It's the same thing. Humility just sounds better.
Humility is way better. That's the word I was going for, but I didn't really know how to.
I mean, it's the word you hate either way. So
it is the word I hate. However, I don't know if I would ever get to. I do. Because, bitch, I'm almost there.
Tell me.
Riding economy on a flight.
Oh.
Bitch, I already feel like, ugh, when I don't get Delta Comfort Plus. If I get into my millions.
That is definitely a rich thing because Mandy is 5 foot fucking nothing.
Bitch,
so,
I'll be
bitch,
like
you're
face.
The person that I fucking hate. In
like
first
face.
Class, when your feet don't even fucking touch the front of Delta One.
It doesn't. I have to scoot it
I'd be
up.
Looking like, bitch, fuck you. Get your ass. Get your little ass back.
And I'm not going to lie, especially if you recline it, I'd be feeling pretty comfortable because, bitch, yes, my feet kind of do dangle on a plane. But I would say.
But that is some rich shit.
I would say the thing that I will not probably do when I get rich enough, like, bitch, you out of first class? Not you out of Delta? Hey, call up the PJ. I guess it's just going
to
cost $10,000.
To me, that's the, I think if I'm at that point,
no, I'm
where
not doing
I'm like, I just want to be, I wouldn't even do, I would just, we just get the plane at that
but
point.
But also, do you
we
know,
get the plane at that
well,
point.
I'm Delta, I'm a Delta medallion, so I'll book main cabin and always get like moved up.
No
Never
matter what.
Fails. I'm like normally always first class, Delta Comfort, I'd be like, ugh. I guess they had money on this flight. But then sometimes when it's really full and I get stuck in
economy,
I'd be like, my drink ain't free. I got to pull out my card. Bitch, I want a vodka soda. It ain't free. I'd be mad that I had to pay. Bitch, you don't even get headphones in economy for free. She'd be like $2. $2 for headphones.
Oh.
I'd be mad already.
I always have headphones, so I don't, that never, it's never
First
a problem
off,
for me.
The fact that it hasn't just moved into an iPhone type of situation or connect to my AirPods in the flights. No, it's still like those, it's still these things. Oh shit, look.
The headphone jack,
It's still a goddamn
and
old
nobody,
ass headphone
nobody
jack.
Travels with headphone jacks anymore. Oh, it's all Bluetooth. Yeah, I don't, I can see that.
Okay, if you
see
got
that
too
class.
Rich, what would you get too rich to do or to pay for?
Because,
bitch, if I'm rich, I ain't paying for no economy flight.
I mean, I feel that. I feel that. But I think if I was at that level, because Delta One, y'all be trying it with these $3,000 for one-way flights. So if I got to spend $6,000 to $7,000 to fly somewhere, I am just going to get the
it's
plane.
It's giving PJ.
It's giving plane at
it's
that
giving
point.
PJ.
Which is great, because then my friends could come too. Like, y'all can come. Y'all could pay what you pay for economy on my flight. Come on. Let's go.
You would charge your friends?
It depends on where we're going.
Oh, you trifling.
Why is that trifling?
If you that rich to where you could pay for a PJ, you going to make your friends pay economy price tickets? Like, I looked up the rates. The normal cost of this flight is this, and you could just give it to me.
I mean, I have friends that would have to meet me from other places. So, I mean, they would have to fly themselves anyway. So,
and you still going to charge them when they get on your flight?
Maybe.
Oh, Bridget.
It depends on who they, it depends on where we going.
She said, if we're just an associate. You're
my
paying.
Friends, my friends know, like my close friends know. But I mean, if I had to go somewhere and it was like, oh, are you getting the plane? Can I come? I'd be like, yeah, sure, $250.
First off, real quick, that's a whole nother conversation you just said. Hey, friends, don't invite yourself nowhere.
If you invite yourself, I normally don't allow.
No one is allowed to invite themselves anywhere. Like if I'm going to somewhere, someplace, don't just tell me you're going to pull up if I didn't extend an invite.
Ooh,
I can't stand or why didn't you invite me? A lot of times if I don't invite you, either A, I can't, or I was the invited.
Right.
And also another thing, if you invited somewhere,
Don't invite nobody.
What are y'all doing out here? Don't invite nobody. But go ahead.
If I had enough money, I think the thing that I would not pay for, or not want to pay for, I like doing my own laundry. I know that sounds strange, but I really do enjoy.
Girl, but you strange.
I enjoy
laundry.
You don't
like anything white and creamy. No. You also like building shit.
I do. I like to put stuff together.
Who likes to do that?
I like to put stuff together.
Who likes to do that?
No, I would probably, a cleaning lady for sure, though. I would definitely want to, I hate the smell of like Ajax, and I don't care how much Fabuloso you boil in a pot in your house. It's still Ajax, bleach, like the smell of Clorox. I hate that smell. I would want somebody to come in and clean. I'm trying to think of anything too rich to do, though. No, and you know what's funny? I can think about this because I remember when I first started my career. This is the Subtle Flex has been brought to you by.
This Subtle Flex?
And I remember like my mom, I had a birthday party. I think it was like my 24th or 25th birthday party. And we did my birthday party at 4040, and my mom was sitting and talking to Beyonce, and I'm a spring baby, I'm an Aries, and usually during around my mom's birthday is 2 days after mine, so we are during our birthday, there's always like the Japanese cherry blossoms,
right?
Like spring has sprung by the time our birthdays come around. And so she was just explaining, she was like telling Beyonce, like, hey, you should, you know, get a chance to take a walk through Central Park or take a bike ride through Central Park to see the cherry blossoms. And I could just see on her face, my mom is not thinking, you know what I mean? Like, she's just talking to her like she's a regular person. And Beyonce's like, I wish I could. I would love to. I can't. And my mom was like, oh, she was like, well, you know, I understand you're busy. You don't have time. She was like, no, it's not.
I'm Beyonce.
I can't walk through Central Park. Like, I just can't do that. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't ever want to be that famous. I don't ever want to be so big that I can't go to Trader Joe's and fucking buy groceries if I want to.
But also, shout out to MK for having not only conversations with Beyonce on your birthday. When you go into Bridget's home, there's a picture of her and her mom with Obama on the wall. You just don't have a normal... Bro, there's a whole picture of Obama hanging in her living room.
My sister worked in politics, in my defense. And so my mother's always... And actually, funny story, real quick.
This little flex. There's another one coming.
This is the ultimate flex, right? So my sister used to work very closely with the Obama administration. She was a fundraiser. And so she hosted a lot of events for President Obama and his wife. And so one of the events that she curated was at the 4040. And so at the 4040, that was where we got to take our picture with Obama. We got to meet him and so on and so forth. So we're standing in line, right? Like going in and to go in and meet President Obama. And there's like different people. It's a fundraising dinner, right? So they have like contest winners. Like they have, you know, charity board members.
Celebrities.
Some celebrities, but not that many. Because it was like, you know, people, some celebrities, but more like more philanthropists. So people that would buy, like spend like 30,000 plate, whatever. But then they had like people that were kind of like won a raffle or won a contest to be there. So we're all in line with them. And my mom is like asking the other people in the line, like, are you nervous? Like, this is, you know, it's President Obama. Like, how great is this? How exciting is this? And they're like, yeah, it's so crazy. Like, he's really our biggest celebrity. Like, I can't even believe it. My mom is sitting there like, oh my God, yeah. Like, I'm so excited, but I'm nervous. Like, my heart's fluttering. I don't know. Like, I'm going to get starstruck. We're standing in line. Jay-Z and Beyonce come down the hallway. MK! And the couple just looks at my mom like, bitch, you for real?
Cause now,
fucking know the Carters and you over here, like nickname basis, like, what up, MK? And you,
I ain't even gonna hold you.
And you nervous about going to meet? It was the funniest thing.
She was lying. I would have been like, oh, bitch, you lying. You just trying to make us feel better.
But it's for real. They just was looking at her like, who is this white lady? Like, what the fuck is going on here? But I remember like just sitting there looking at her like, yo, this is crazy. Like, there's nobody else left for you to be starstruck by except Jesus. Like, and Oprah. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's literally Oprah. It's like you met the Carters, you met Mr. President Obama, and then it's Oprah and Jesus. There's nobody else.
Would you be starstruck? Is there anyone you would still be starstruck over to see?
Yeah.
Who?
So...
Who?
It's corny as hell. Uh-oh. But who? It is. But she was really... Mariah Carey was really instrumental very early on for me when I was first even discovering that I had a voice.
You never met her?
I have avoided her in every room.
Shut up.
I have run.
Dog, you're childish.
I literally see her and I sink into the couch. I'm like, no, I gotta go. She's here. Mind you, Mariah Carey comes in with the big glasses. You know what I mean?
She's Mariah.
She's very like, she is. She's Mariah. So she comes in, she speaks, her voice is deep too, just like ours. Yeah, so it's always like, hey, how are you? Like, it's still oh no, girl, I run, which is nuts. And I've watched people see it happen to me where I'm like, I can't, I gotta go. Pineapples, like I freak out.
For Mariah?
Yeah, I would just start crying if she started talking to me. I would just cry, which is crazy because I've literally been around so many different people that are bigger and more legendary. I've been in the room with Quincy Jones and Stevie Wonder.
I mean, it's weird because I actually did that. I just didn't want to be. So I did that with Kobe Bryant.
Oh, yeah. See, so, he's another one that I probably would have done that for.
So, of course, I was dealing with one of his teammates. So I was coming down the elevator as they were getting off of the bus coming back from practice. And Kobe was the very first one off the bus. And he was coming towards the elevator that I was on. And bitch, I closed the elevator in his face because there was no way I was going to be on an elevator with him. He's
you
gonna
closed
look
the
I
elevator
did.
In Kobe Bryant's face?
I did. I kind of was like, door closed, door closed, door closed, door closed. There was nothing mind you, Kobe technically was my Michael Jordan. But also the first time me meeting a Kobe, I knew I was going to look like a hoe. He was just going to know I was sucking one of his teammates' dicks. And I just didn't think I would be able to even hold a conversation with him and get any type of respect. So I was like, mind you, he had a glow. It was Kobe. He's the only person I saw. There were some other niggas behind him. But when
I'm crying.
Bro, I swear to God.
Because I could just see Mandy like sliding to the...
Bro, I was not going to stand in an elevator with the Kobe Bryant. So he was one that... I was just like, oh no, there's just no way. I wouldn't even know what to say, but I would have to say something. But also I know I look like a hoe. Nope, this is not the way this is supposed to happen. So Kobe was one person that actually, wow. I was like, but right now, honestly, the person who would be the just person that I've loved my whole life, ironically, Coach K from Duke.
Oh, okay.
And this is his last year coaching Duke, but Coach Krzyzewski, I can never say it right, but Coach K, but it would be between him and Denzel. Okay. Those are the two people that would probably have me fluttered.
Okay. Yeah, I think that makes sense. Yeah, Mariah's the only person. I've been in a room with her several times and have just beelined. I've just gotten like...
Damn, you said no to the biracial brigade between the two of you?
She's biracial. Yeah, in my mind, it's like, she's an angel. And I'm freaked out, so I have nothing. I literally just vacate the premises. Which at some point, I will...
It's going to happen.
It'll happen where I sit,
hey,
I can
Mariah?
Talk to her.
You want to come sit with us on the couch?
Mimi.
What? I'm just saying.
I will lose it. If Mimi comes on the couch, I will absolutely lose it. But yes, I love her. I love her very much.
That's going to be the one day my outline does not matter because Bridget's not going to say a word. She's just going to sit there and I'm gonna just going to have to sit there and talk to Mariah myself.
She's like, so Bridget, what do you think? you could be so... That's all I would have.
You wouldn't know what the hell.
I wouldn't know.
What's next on the docket, girly?
What else are we talking about? Ooh.
You want to get into that conversation before we get into music, since it has to kind of do with music?
Yeah, I think we should. Variety Magazine posted this really great interview with...
Vulture.
Vulture, sorry, not Variety. Vulture Magazine. Look at me. My dyslexia kicking in.
oh, bitch, it wasn't as bad as me with reading them ads last week. Bitch, it was, that was not bad. Knowing how to spell.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, you looked, it literally has all of the letters in caps. And she's like, yeah, A, F. I was like, there's no F. This is like the failed vision test when you got to cover one eye and look at the shit across the room. But
bitch, it was awful.
Nah, so Vulture Magazine did this really great interview with Fifi Dobson. And I love this for a couple of reasons. One, because Mandy and I always laugh about the early 2000s era of music being super, and now that was like probably the whitest time of our lives.
For sure.
And so Fifi Dobson was one of those really incredible artists that came out and had made like a splash in like the pop funk. Yes.
This is her.
In like the pop funk time, right? And or pop rock. And so she came out right before Avril Lavigne, I think.
Okay.
And in this interview, she's 36 or 37 now, and she's married to Yelawolf Wolf. Did you know that? She's married to Yelawolf Wolf. Yeah, they've been married for like 10 years.
And
crazy.
I didn't know that. And mind you, hear her.
Yeah.
Y'all probably know this song.
She's from Canada, like Avril.
Beautiful voice.
So she lives in Nashville. And the interview I thought was really interesting because the interviewer asked really great questions around how she felt as a teenager, like launching her career and then kind of getting lost in the sauce with like the social media boom, and then also feeling a little bit upstaged by artists that came on the scene doing a similar sound to hers and kind of like, I don't want to say stole the spotlight, but at the time, I think because she was a black girl and she was doing like a punk pop rock style of music, that it was, you know, kind of overshadowed by Avril Lavigne coming out and doing the same thing as a white skater girl. And I thought the interview was really compelling because she was very honest about feeling. Well, there's a couple things that she was honest about. One, acknowledging that she wasn't really understanding or in touch with her blackness and didn't see that as that playing a part in her career at all.
Mm. Well, yeah, and I believe it came out maybe around the same time, actually, when you have people like Pink, right, who were very white,
yeah,
and they wanted to almost give her that urban black, yeah, artist role as a white woman.
Right.
And so I could see where she was kind of frustrated in that maybe they didn't want to allow her to be in this lane because she's biracial, right?
She's biracial, but she...
Biracial.
Sorry. Yeah, she is. But, you know, she's... I don't think she... I think for that genre of music, I think she still thought that... Which is, you know, it's wishful and naive and a little bit naive to assume that that's not going to play a part in how you're treated. But I guess because she felt so comfortable in her talent and in her craft, it didn't affect her at all that being a black girl doing this predominantly white style of music, which, by the way, for anybody who's not familiar with Fifi Dobson, I remember the majority of Fifi. I knew so many young black girls that loved Fifi Dobson.
Give me another song.
What's the take? Is it the Take It Away, Take Me Away record?
That's the one I was just playing.
That's the one you played.
This is another one.
She had a AO. This one,
this,
yes.
Is everything.
This is the one I remember from her.
This one?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes
I give in to sadness. This is so early 2000s.
Yeah.
Look, Jay know all the words. She don't, though, because she's 24.
You know, sorry. You remember Fifi Dobson.
I'm just playing.
Oh, you're 25.
Oh, wow. 25. So,
ew, we're not going to be ageist.
There's such a difference.
We're not going to be ageist.
Ew, I'm not 24. I'm 25.
Yeah, she had a song called Stupid Little Love. Stupid Little Love Song.
Giving that.
Stupid Little Love Song, Bye Bye Boyfriend.
Okay.
She had a couple joints. But I think the reason I really enjoyed the interview too was because I think the things about the interviewer asked her if there was anything she could change, what would she do differently, or what is something that she wished that she knew. And I think that part for her it was more so understanding the landscape better, right? The music industry landscape better, which I think is something when you launch your career early, you all want that.
Yeah.
And also just kind of understanding how to just continue to evolve as an artist, right? And I think she never strayed from what she's done. She just moved. She left LA, I guess, and moved to Nashville and built a life with her husband, Yellow Wolf, who's also a rapper. And she still makes music and she's happy. She makes the music that she's happy making. But the thing that she said about knowing more about herself was understanding how her blackness would play a role in how she would get, you know, treated in music, or how her music would be marketed or promoted. Right. And I don't think, as she said, she was like, you know, I have a white mom and a black dad. I was just into what I was into, and I was encouraged and I was loved. I was fully supported. I was fully surrounded by love. And it was never about, you know, what color I was, or I didn't think about identifying. And she said, I'm from Canada. And so it's not necessarily the same environment that I hear other artists talk about it being such a prominent thing.
Right.
But she was saying that she wished she had a better awareness about it. A better awareness of how crucial it was within an industry, right? Not about the importance of your identity as it pertains to being a human being.
I mean, we hear a lot about what a lot of women had to deal with in the industry.
Yeah.
Anyways, so.
But I think she was a kid. She was like 17, 18 when she came out, right? And so most of us at 17 and 18 don't know our ass from our elbows. So.
But I talked about this however they had them dressing. I just saw a picture of Destiny's Child back when they were all 17. Bitch, they all looked like grown-ass women.
I told you, we were dressed business casual in the club. Business casual.
Bitch, they had on gowns that I know Miss Tina made.
2004, we had on a blazer. We had a blazer on over a belted peplum shirt.
But no, they just also
Why did we belt peplum? Somebody needs to tell me why we belted peplum.
They looked older, bro. They just looked older.
We were business casual.
No, bro, it was kind of like when you look at old basketball games.
If you go on Facebook
them niggas looked 45 and they were 23.
If you go on Facebook right now and find pictures
We talked about this.
The skirts is down to here.
But I'm talking about they red carpet in gowns and they just looked grown.
Yeah.
As teenagers, as 17-year-olds.
But I wanted to ask you if there's anything that you wish that you knew, not necessarily did differently, because I don't always know if asking if we would have done something differently is, I don't think any of us would really do anything differently with the knowledge that we had then. Is there anything?
Oh, there's a whole lot of niggas I would unfuck.
Okay.
Whole lot.
But that's also from knowing what you know. Is there anything that you wish that you knew then? Because I really do think that at 18, 19, we do the best we can with what we've got. We're not seeking to do better than what we're doing. We're just trying to do what we're just trying to make what we're doing work.
You know what's crazy? I really wish I knew that I didn't know it all. Because, baby, I moved in a way that in my 20s, I thought I had it figured out. I thought I knew what was good for me. I thought I knew the men that were going to be maybe my husband. I thought I knew what love was. I thought I knew what friendship was. I just thought I knew it all. And when someone told me I didn't, bitch, I thought they was lying. So I wish that I was able to
A hater.
Or a hater. Yeah, we use that word hater a whole lot on people when they weren't. They were just telling us about ourselves a lot.
Right.
And so to me, I wish I didn't think I knew it all. And that's something that I would tell myself now. Like, if I was able to just talk to myself in the future as a younger self, I would sit my ass down and be like, no, bitch, you don't know it all. So stop it, because you're wrong.
But also stop trying to, I would tell myself to stop trying to learn everything the hard way.
I mean, working smarter, not harder is always something that I live by that now. Yeah. I live by that now.
I didn't live by that then. I always thought that there had to be some grandiose level of drama in order for it to land properly onto me, which is fucking ridiculous and self-sabotaging.
Oh, hell. Well,
we
talked about music from the 2000s.
Yes.
And can we get into it?
Freshly squeezed. Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I wanted to just
It's because she got her feet up on the table. That's why she acting like that.
So if you are a foot lover, please tune into the YouTube. I got the soles showing. I'm
she got
even
her feet
curling
out.
My feet. Ew. So when I did my OnlyFans.
You see how close the feet are to the... No, I'm kidding.
When I did my foot OnlyFans, I didn't even know niggas like when you like spread your toes wide apart. Like, it's some weird shit that foot lovers like. So I'm doing all the things. All
right. Okay.
Okay. Sorry, guys.
So we're going to get into music
Tune into
now.
Our YouTube channel. Just look up Single Thing
Mandy's
Thing is
Toes.
Yeah. So... I was randomly listening to, again, y'all know I love old school music.
Yeah.
And I was like,
okay.
This is
not old school music, by the way.
To me, it reminds me of my childhood, bitch.
Okay.
It's while I was in middle school and high school, okay?
It's not from the 1900s, so it's not old school.
It's not.
But I feel like old school music is the 1900s, which is still like 1997.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
It's from the early 2000s, and if you could just pull up the lyrics to these two songs.
Oh, my God.
We're going to start with one. So I'm listening to it today, right?
Jesus.
And I'm like, oh, my God. First off, I also loved just about every song from this album, and I'm listening to it, and as I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh bitch, I gotta bring this to the pod, because not only is it problematic, it just doesn't make sense. And I'm just like, I need to know who wrote it, but also it brings me back to the conversation we also had about Bobby Valentino. Like, there's no way this worked. And at the end of the day, this is nothing you should ever say out loud. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're joining with us and you decide you want to take a break from the work at your desk, please pull up the lyrics to Usher's You Remind Me. I'm going to play the song now. And
this is toxic. This toxic king.
Bro, do you read it?
This reverse psychology ass shit.
Bro, it is wild. It also is just like, wait, what? This was a thing? Mm-hmm. So today's first song comes from Usher from the album. This is 8701, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
This is from 8701.
Good and album. Baby, U-Turn was my vibe.
That's what I'm saying.
U-Turn was really my shit.
But it's also just like, you could have kept all this to yourself. Not I ain't seen you in a minute, but I gotta tell you, cause I can't keep it to myself.
See the thing about you that caught my eye.
What was it?
Is the same thing that makes me change my mind.
About what?
Okay.
Hard to explain, but girl,
this is where he should have stopped. He shouldn't have explained.
Sit down, this look. May take a while.
Why?
Hold
go
on.
Talk to your therapist. Why are you telling me?
Okay, a girl looks like me, bitch.
She even smiles just the way you do.
All right.
So innocent she seemed, but I was
This man is hurt.
Look at you.
This man is hurt. By the way, y'all know the chorus. I don't know why he's even telling this woman all of these things, right? The second verse is the craziest part. So she got a smile. You thought she was innocent. What she put you through? Y'all ready for this part? Look at this. He hurt.
She was the one for me.
Hold on. This is slut shaming at its finest. And there we go. That's where I have to take it off. Because not only I remind you of a girl that you wanted that wasn't even fucking you, but fucking everybody else, but you wanted to fuck. So now because that girl didn't fuck you, you can't fuck with me. I'm listening to this song and I'm just like,
I'm like, so
why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me that you can't fuck with me because the girl that you wanted was fucking everybody but you? Look at you. I was puzzled too because I'm singing along.
So now, I'll be like, all right, so let me fuck you so I don't remind you of her anymore because she didn't let you fuck.
She didn't.
Let's go ahead.
But also, we know how.
Let me go ahead and put it on you because sis obviously did not, and you are sprung off of nothing at all.
But also, Bobby Valentino was telling you, turn around and don't turn around.
Yes.
He's telling you.
It's the Cupid shuffle.
You cute and I want to fuck with you, but
I can't
because you look like a bitch that didn't let me fuck. Who would talk to a man that says this, and why did he feel the need? It's kind of hard to explain, but girl, I'll try. I guarantee you, she said no. Explain. I'm curious. Once you went to saying, I look like a girl that reminds you of, you know what? Again, who wrote this shit and who signed off on this being something that makes any type of sense?
I can't.
But I'm also like, damn. Damn. So, in due fashion, I also came across another song.
Yeah. I know where you're going.
And we talk about gaslighting.
Uh-huh.
Now in 2022. But this song specifically, again, came on. And I was listening to the dirty mackin' that was happening. So, guys, this song... If a man ever says these things to you, you should probably run.
Uh-huh.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is Mario's Let Me Love You. Not only is he a whole hater, I need you to read the lyrics to this one, baby. Because it's wild. Just how he starts it. You ready? Listen to how he starts it.
Baby, I just don't get it. Enjoy being hurt.
That's where we gotta start. How, sir? Sir?
Do you enjoy being hurt?
Is that not a wild thing? Like, listen, I know, fellas, when you go up to a woman and she's like, but I have a boyfriend, and this is equivalent to you saying, But does he make you happy though?
Nigga, nah, it's worse. No, that's wait, this worse. Is worse. That's worse.
Do you enjoy being hurt?
That's... Are you not embarrassed? That's a man straight up trying to bag you, talking about, are you not embarrassed?
But wait,
this is embarrassing.
But also,
do you mind? Do you like getting hurt, bitch? What?
I'm not gonna lie. That's shady as fuck.
That's shady as shit.
But you know who Mario also sounds like in this song?
Who?
The guy best friend that really doesn't want you to be with the nigga that you with. Listen to what else he says.
I know you smell the perfume, the makeup on the shirt.
Damn, so you throwing what I told you in my face?
You know that there are lies, bad as you are.
You stick around, and I just don't know why.
Yeah, the fuck you do.
Because that dick is good.
The dick is good. And she's in love. Coming
home back to you
every night, doing you right.
You're the type of woman deserve good fame. This for the diamond.
Had to stop it there again. Fellas, y'all mad that not only we want you to provide, but y'all want to sit here and say, I could have a fistful of diamonds if I fuck with you? Now, if I break up with my nigga, I'm going to want the diamonds. That's what I be talking about. Niggas be leading with money. You just said I shouldn't be with him because you're going to come home every night and give me a fistful of diamonds. Fellas, y'all got to stop leading with your pockets. Y'all got to... Bro, I'm telling you, I'm listening to these songs now as an adult, and I'm like,
but you know
toxic.
What I'm realizing men know? Toxic. You know what I'm realizing men know too?
What? We like diamonds?
No. Toxic broke dick is some good dick.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Bitches be staying in relationships and situations with men that don't even have their own shit together. Like, fuck buying you and providing and taking care of you. He don't have his own shit together. He driving your car around. But the dick is good, and that's why you stay and you tolerate all this fucking abuse. This is crazy. Sorry.
Well, to be fair, I'm going to stick up for women here.
Go for it.
Might shit on men just a little bit.
Okay.
But when you single, right?
Yeah.
As a single, sexually liberated woman, you legit could be having 10 niggas in rotation. Not all of them is dicking you down good. So when you find one.
Yeah.
You literally will say, bitch, I don't even need the mother nine.
Yeah.
I just need this one. And so, unfortunately, and this is where women, I'm sorry. I know pussy makes the world go round, but baby, it wouldn't go around without dick. I ain't even gonna hold you. Because the way that we will move mountains for some dick, bitch, we will be earthquakes in this bitch,
okay.
Making whole fucking
all the science,
avalanches.
All the science, Mandy, don't believe in. Tectonic plates moving, okay, sis? For the dick? Yes.
For the dick.
Yes.
So it's just like, damn, ladies, I know it's powerful, but we be doing some dumbass shit for men. But also, listening to this, fellas, please don't dirty Mac to whatever man is having love. Like, this was a nasty, nasty song. Do you enjoy being hurt? Damn.
It's a shame. Shit. Don't even know what you're worth.
I ain't gonna hold you. That's why I stopped talking about my relationship. I was like, at this point, they just gonna say, do you enjoy being hurt, bitch? Because you keep breaking up with this nigga and getting right back. I was like, okay, all right. We're on YouTube. They can see your face, Bridget. They can see your face.
I'm glad. I'm glad.
Bitch, they can see your face.
From all the angles.
Damn.
That's the problem.
It's giving budget. Y'all see the multi-angle switch?
That's the yeah. No, yeah, that's the problem with being an on-again, off-again relationships, right? Your friend's not on-again, off-again. Your friends is always going to be off once you off. Your real friends, that is.
Yeah.
Because they know what's up now.
And you know what? It's me. I told y'all.
But I'm a kumbaya ass bitch, and I am.
You gave them some chances.
I definitely wanted. Well, because I also believe in people's desire and
he was
effort
great.
To change
he was
and
a
do
dick
things
girl.
And do things differently. And
that dick kept me coming around like the world.
No, you loved him though, so
I did.
It's not just that.
Yeah, I loved him.
Yeah, it was a little different.
Not no more.
But
I moved on.
No, you love yourself more. And
I
there's
do.
Nothing wrong with that. There's
I do.
Nothing wrong with that. And you are prioritizing yourself. And look at all the things you're manifesting in lieu of that.
I do. I love it. Yeah. I love that for us.
Me too.
Y'all know one of the things that we decided to add to our Friday episode.
Yes.
Before we get out of here is the food for thought.
Yes.
And I found this food for thought quite interesting. And wanted to ask you your thoughts. Because y'all
Look
know.
Look at you.
Me and Bridget, actually. I don't believe we're going to agree on this, but we'll see. So I found this on Spiritual word. I always want to say spiritual world.
Because it feels like it should be like spiritual it should, world.
But it's spiritual word.
Okay.
And I wanted to know your thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. Everything you lost, you were supposed to lose to set you up for what God was preparing you for. You thought it was a loss, but it was really a gain. And I wanted to ask you this because I now do fully believe that everything happens for a reason.
Oh.
And so, like, even, bitch, when I canceled that trip to Cleveland for All-Star Weekend, then got it rebooked, and then came into the studio and my flight got canceled, I could have sat here, and I was mad for, what, all of 5 minutes?
Yeah.
And literally, I just was like, nope, there's a reason why I wasn't supposed to be in Cleveland. For whatever reason it was, the universe, whatever, did not want me there this weekend, and I'm just going to accept it. And I ended up spending the day in the house, watching TV, cleaning, doing other things. But this also brings me to, I remember I got the opportunity. I could have sworn my purpose in life was to be a flight attendant. I don't know if that's even really a purpose, but I knew I wanted to fly everywhere. I wanted to see the world.
You want to see the world. That's a good way to do it.
It was something that I didn't have the opportunity to do growing up. And so I went all the way to the final stages. I got flown to Atlanta for Delta.
That's great.
And I didn't get the job. I literally went all the way to the final phase, did all my research, did all my homework, and didn't get selected for the job. And I remember, like, bawling, because I was like, what am I going to do now? I can't believe this didn't happen. And the place that I was at this time, I, like, sunk, because I thought, like, no, in my mind, you know, and I say things all the time, this is my job, this is going to be what I manifest things. But at the time, I just didn't get the job. And I was, it was a dark moment for me, because I was just like, well, damn, I thought that that's what I was supposed to do, and I'm not doing it. Ironically, that same exact year, I got into school. And I know now that had I gotten that job as a flight attendant, I probably would have never went back to school. I don't think I would have ever started this podcast. I would have been in a completely different space than where I'm at now. And I'm so proud and happy to be where I'm at now. I do see now that loss to me was a gain. There was a reason why it didn't happen. And so I actually do view things that way. And I wanted to know, do you view life in that same way?
I think that sounds good when you...
Not it sounds good.
It sounds good.
Like, wait, real quick. If someone tells you sounds good, they're like, bitch, you wrong. Bitch, if you think so. Sounds good is
I guess. I guess. No, I mean, I think...
That's what it sounds good is.
I think, again, these kinds of questions are very layered. And I think that it's... For someone like you, I think it can be true more often than not, because you are in a space where you have really discovered a different type of purpose for yourself and for your life, and you're good at it and you're successful at it, right? I think for creatives especially, as much as I'm sure a lot of other people that are not creative would love to believe it's very self-serving, most people work and work and work for years and don't see the fruits of their labor. And so I don't think that for them that necessarily
applies.
A loss
would still be a gain.
I just think that a loss is a loss. Whether you can find silver lining in a situation or circumstances is really up to you. But a loss is, it doesn't take away from the loss. I think I say that because when that situation happened for me with the Frank Ocean record, with Thinking About Forever, that was such a blow to, that took the wind out of everyone's sails that was working on my project, and nobody ever picked the momentum back up. That was a game changer for my career. And it's not anybody's fault. It's not to place blame, but it's just what happened. We recorded that record and then recorded a bunch of other songs that complemented that record in a project. My album was going to be called Thinking About Forever. And everything got derailed when he released his version of it. And, you know, he wrote the record. It's within his rights. So I'm not mad at him for it anymore. But I remember at the time, like my team's excitement and enthusiasm, the label's enthusiasm, everybody just felt completely deflated by it. And the momentum was never, like, we never, like, creatively, I felt like we never really recovered from that. Like, we never... A lot of the records that we went on to record then didn't really, nothing, a lot of them weren't released. Some of them were, you know, but then it was like, it kind of then forced the label to feel like they had to just throw some stuff out there. And so we ended up dropping an EP instead of actually like taking the time then to kind of start over and culminate an album. We just kind of threw records together and put them out, which, you know, looking back, they were really incredible records. But right. had we waited a little bit and kind of did more development on me as an artist, on, you know, making sure my team was in place and had all the necessary resources, like, it wasn't the same after that. Once that happened, the energy was really different. And to me, there's no other explanation other than it was just a loss. You know what I mean? We had to pick up the pieces and figure out how to make something else work. And we did, but, you know, that doesn't, to me, figuring out how to make things work in spite of something doesn't invalidate the fact that it was still a really big blow to everything that I had worked for, everything that my team was working on. And so, you know, I don't think I disagree with the idea that everything happens for a reason, but I definitely do believe
that. You don't feel like a loss can be a gain at the same time,
though. No, I think a loss is just a loss. And I think how you recover the next time around can be great, but there are moments where you can't, some things you just can't get back. Some moments you just can't get back. And I think that there's, the only resolve is in, you know, feeling hopeful about creating a moment that may not just necessarily be for you, but could be for somebody else that works with you or works in tandem with you. And I think that's my takeaway. I wouldn't say that it's like, oh yeah, well, no losses, just lessons. Like, no, there's a lot of losses that are just losses. And sometimes people don't bounce back. For a lot of people, people don't bounce back. A lot of things happen and people never recover. They never figure out how to make something of themselves. Like, even thinking back to Love and Hip Hop, like, I can't, there's no ounce of me that my first season, it's like, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. No, I went on that show. You felt like
that was a loss?
I needed
for you?
Money. Absolutely. That was one of the hardest years for me. I went on because I was kind of lost musically. I was trying to figure everything out. I was living in LA. I went and got a job. I was working at a restaurant because I had no money. I was just trying to navigate. I had completely hit reset on my life. And I had two choices. I could either stay in LA and make this relationship work and go on this show and make money, or move back to New York and hit reset and do exactly what I did in the middle of fucking
what
the pandemic,
did.
Right?
What you did in 2020.
And say, you know what? Maybe this isn't working for me. Let me just move home for a little bit, which a lot of people can't do. I realize how lucky and blessed I am to even have that, where me going back home is still New York City. It's still New York City. It's not like I'm going back home to a small town. Like, and my mother lives in a place where I can come back home and stay at home in my room and sleep in my old bed you know what I mean? For however long I need to, it's not an issue. So, you know, all those things combined. Yeah. I felt in my heart, I didn't trust myself. And I felt in my heart that it probably wasn't the right choice. And that year was hell for me after that. Like, that 2017 was so emotionally hard. Got dumped on television, went through a really tumultuous breakup after going back and forth with the same person for 7 years.
That's a long time.
Which is hard, right? Yeah. And I went through all of that on a public forum, on a public medium. And so, you know, I think it's a matter of even recognizing it as a regret, because I don't have any regrets about it. I learned a lot from it. But to me, learning a lot from it doesn't discount the loss and the feeling of like, nah, that was a misstep. That was a real misstep on my behalf. So, yeah, I mean, I think I can own that and really look back on it like there was some value in my takeaways and in my lessons, and it hardened me a little bit. It thickened my skin a little bit.
Right.
But other than that, no, I mean... Everything happens for a reason sounds good in theory, but there's a lot of shit that just happens sometimes that is just circumstantial, that's not in your control, and you're just a victim of circumstance, and you get to decide how long you want to sit and sulk about it and how long it's going to take you to heal, lick your wounds, and then get back up and figure it out.
And I guess that's kind of the position I'm in now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't sulk anymore.
You're reaping the benefits and rewards of work that you've put in.
I put in a lot of work.
And you deserve that. And I think everyone deserves to feel that way. But I do think that there's probably a larger population of people, especially creatives, that work their asses off for long periods of time and never actually get to reap the rewards and see the benefits and the success that they feel entitled to because of how hard they work.
I want to, if you guys don't yet, follow us on Instagram.
Yes.
At See The Thing Is Pod. Because I want to start posting our Friday Food for Thought. And I want to get some other people's thoughts. Like, I think that our audience is not only really intellectual but very opinionated.
Yes.
On all the things.
Yes.
So
I love that y'all fact check us. I love that y'all give us your opinions even if you disagree with
even
us.
Even if
and you
I ain't ask for it. No, sorry, bitch. I don't have that. But now I'm asking for your opinion on this. So now,
so now
you can
please chime in. Yes.
So again, follow us on our Instagram at See the Thing Is Pod.
Yes.
Also, make sure that you subscribe and like this episode on our YouTube page because we're trying to grow that again. You guys simply subscribing and liking helps us in the algorithm of things and allows other people to easily find us.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, if you want to watch this episode, we will be releasing it tomorrow. So all of the Tuesday episodes release on YouTube on Wednesday and all of the Friday episodes release on YouTube on Saturday.
That's right.
So make sure that you do that. And I'm just going to leave off with this
song.
What
are we getting out of here to?
Because it's only right. And if you guys have never heard this before, this is the beautiful woman that I sit by every week.
Mandy, I don't like being hurt. To answer Mario's question, do you enjoy being hurt?
Ooh,
that's this right here. Do you enjoy being hurt?
Oh, sorry. If this sounds beautiful. Yo, not Jay laughing. Oh no, should I? Okay. All right. I guess that didn't. Okay, here we go. My other favorite song then. And although he is canceled.
Don't you dare play R. Kelly. You better play a different song. Fucking.
This is Daniel Caesar and Kelly Uchis. This is actually my number one song on the sex playlist when I did Colors.
Oh.
This song means a lot to me.
Great song.
So we're going to leave out to this. Hope that you enjoyed this week's episode, guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful weekend.
We'll see you soon.
Oh, also, it's Women's Month.
Yay!
Respect all women, especially black women. All right, guys, and we're out. None of that could ever.